Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story.
Today's show contains death.
If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog.
Killian. Thunder booms in a cloudless sky deep in the Appalachian mountain ranges of Tennessee. You stumble along a trail as the thunder claps creep closer to you. Then you hear the singing, a song sung by a voice that sounds like stones being rubbed together. The song and the thunder suddenly stop. An elderly voice speaks from somewhere in the dense trees to your right. Hello, little boy. Killian, who is this creature? Got an answer? The answer, Killian, is Spearfinger the Witch.
I knew it was going to be some type of witch, yeah. But I didn't know which one. I was like, Baba Yaga? No, we already did that one.
Let's open the Cryptid Catalog to find out more. Okay, so Killian, as always, first things first, we get to thank our friends Kevin
and Taylor.
And Taylor for suggesting the Spearfinger Witch. So thank you to Kevin and Taylor.
Thank you.
Okay, have you heard of Spearfinger before?
A finger that's a spear, like for nails. Instead of actual nails, they're like spears, and they can like...
Now, have you heard of that before, or are you guessing based on her name?
I'm just guessing.
Okay. So you've not heard of her before?
No.
Okay, so Spearfinger is a strange witch walking the Appalachian Mountains, trails between Tennessee and North Carolina. I'm going to teach you a trick. Ready?
Yeah.
For you and the listeners. The word Appalachian is, a lot of people say it wrong. They call it the Appalachian Mountains, all these different things. But I had my roommate in college. She lived in the Appalachian Mountains. And you know how they teach you how to say it right?
How?
Because they say, if you don't say it right, we're going to throw an apple at you. So it's Appalachian. Fun facts. Anyway. So she walked the Appalachian Mountain trails between Tennessee and North Carolina, and she plagued the Cherokee nations.
So does she live in Tennessee?
Well, hold on.
Or does she live between?
Pause. Okay. Just listen. She plagued the Cherokee nations with her ravenous appetite and tricks. So funny enough, she haunts the area of ETSU, which is in Johnson City, Tennessee, which is where I went to college for 1 year. And then I came back to here and met Daddy.
Oh, wait, I know.
Thankfully, I never ran into the Spearfinger Witch. But to be fair, I never went hiking in my first year of college, so.
On the way there, we actually, on the way to the Tennessee Safari Park, we actually went in Johnson, Tennessee, on the way.
Not in Johnson City. I don't think you would have. Johnson City is not far, though, I will say, from Knoxville, which you've been to.
Oh.
It's like a couple hours after that. But anyway, so I think it's better to start today with a story, and then we will slice into the lore behind Spearfinger. This story is called The Brave Hiker.
Oh, good title for, like, the wild robot.
No. Oh. Brent has spent a lot of time in the woods when he was younger, learning to camp, fish, and survive in the wilderness with his family for years. So shortly after turning 18, he decided to go on a 2-week Appalachian hike to test his stuff before starting college. He had always liked the area, knew parts of it very well, and was confident that even though it was the end of the camping season, he would be fine. After all, he had years of experience in the woods. Sitting outside the Fontana Dam General Store, eating a Clif Bar before embarking on his adventure, he listened in to a dad talking with his two young daughters.
That's so scary.
They were all decked out in well-used camping gear, and the sight of the dad talking to his kids, the way Brent's dad spoke to him, put a big smile on his face. He eavesdropped just a little as he threw away his trash. The dad was warning the kids about staying by the campsite at all times. Good advice, Brent thought. Then he heard the dad talking about a tricky witch that wanders these trails. The dad got serious and said that she was made of stone, could change her voice to sound like a skibbity toilet, whatever that was, and that she had a long black spear for a finger. The dad lifted his pointer finger high into the sky. Then the dad sprang towards his girls and poked them in the stomach. They both screamed and then giggled. If Brent was a little younger, he might have been frightened too, but he was 18, a full-grown adult, and there was nothing scary in these woods. The first few nights went by calmly. He'd call his mom on the satellite phone to check in before falling asleep, listening to the owls hoot into the night. The rivers and waterfalls that cut into the mountains were breathtaking. Brent did have an encounter with a large black bear sitting in the middle of the trail. He remained calm and quiet and moved off the trail horizontally to the right. Keeping the bear in front of him, Brent moved out of sight and waited quietly on top of some gray stones. The bear eventually moved along, and Brent was able to continue. A proud grin on his face. He was an expert in these woods. Nothing could stop him. That night in his tent, he heard the thunder rumble. His storm report hadn't called for anything, but this was Tennessee and the weather did what it wanted to. He stepped out of his single tent and put the rain shield on the top when he heard the soft screeching of stones being dragged along the ground. Turning to face the deep darkness of the forest, he saw something moving through the woods. Slender and hunched. Too tall to be a mountain lion, too small to be a bear walking on its hind legs. No, this had to be another hiker. Brent called out a friendly hello. No response. The owls and bugs had stopped making noises. It felt like the forest itself was leaning in, watching Brent and this strange hiker. It was almost like something ancient in this forest had woken up and was excited. Brent leaned down and grabbed his satellite phone and a flashlight. By the time he stood back up, the shadowy figure was gone. Brent could feel his heart thrum in his neck. He heard his heart. No, that wasn't his heart. He could hear a heart beating in the forest all around him. He clicked his light on and it flickered to life. The once vibrant white light now drained down to a soft yellow. The thin beam moved in a circle around Brent's camp, and then the light rested on the shoulders and back of a man in worn camping gear. This must be the hiker he had just seen. The hiker's back was hunched over and holding something close to his chest. Brent stood still, watching the hiker take heavy, strained breaths. Brent took a step forward and stepped down on a small twig. The crack sliced the tense moment like an explosion. The hiker's head lifted slowly and turned to look over his shoulder at Brent. Everything clicked. This was the father who was telling the stupid witch story to his daughters. Wait. Where were his daughters? What was he holding in his arms? Why hadn't he responded to Brent when he called out to him? Surely he was not holding his daughters in his arms. The dad's eyes were like two charcoals looking at Brent. Brent slowly went to lift the satellite phone to call the Rangers. Then several things happened all at once. First, thunder rumbled, not from the sky, but from the ground itself. Second, the dad twisted and dropped two small bodies from his hands and charged for Brent. Brent clicked the power on the phone. The small bodies hit the floor and evaporated. In an inhuman feat of strength, the dad pounced for Brent, clearing the 15 feet in an instant and knocking Brent onto the ground. The flashlight went spiraling out of Brent's hands and landed feet away, casting Brent and his attacker in a thin yellow light. The air rushed out of Brent's lungs as he felt the body on top of him didn't. The air rushed out of Brent's lungs as he felt the body on top of him didn't carry the weight of a man, but of a bag of heavy stones. The dad held his left hand to his chest as he leaned down on Brent, something red and pulsing peeking out of his fingers. Brent looked to his left, struggling to find his breath. There in the dirt next to him was the man's other hand, except his pointer finger was one long black stone, sharpened into a long dagger-like spear. When Brent looked back into the eyes of his attacker, the face of an old witch stared back at him, her lips crusted with thick, dried blood. Her teeth were nothing but jagged and chipped stones, eagerly grinding for the feast beneath her. Gray and pockmarked skin like the stones he had walked across 1,000 times. The spear finger lifted and punctured the satellite phone. Brent struggled beneath the weight of the stone witch. She cackled into the darkness above them, the sound like the crackling of thunder. If you were in the woods that night, you would have heard the storm on the mountaintop. And maybe if you were quiet and stood unbelievably still, you'd have heard a scream cut short by the sound of slicing. And then something ancient and strange eating. What did you think of the story?
It was scary.
It was scary? You thought it was scary?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
How could such a mellow dude get killed?
I don't know. What do you think the Spearfinger Witch's powers are based on the story?
Sing, sing.
Slicing with the fingers?
Yes.
So let's slice into the lore. So the Spearfinger Witch is a Cherokee legend said to live along the eastern side of Tennessee and the western part of North Carolina. Her right forefinger resembles a spear or an obsidian knife, which she uses to cut her victims. Her mouth is stained with blood from the livers that she has eaten.
Livers?
Yeah, livers in your body.
Ew.
Yeah. She is also known as as Stone Dress because her skin is like stone. Often she clutches her left hand tightly because she's hiding her heart, which is her only weak spot. In some iterations of the Spearfinger stories, she is carrying her heart around with her. Spearfinger sounds like thunder when she walks, crushing rocks into the ground when she steps on them. Her voice echoes down the mountains to the Cherokee villages and scares the birds of the forest away, which the people have traditionally seen as a warning sign of her presence. In Tennessee, Spearfinger is believed to enjoy walking the trail that joins the Chilhowee Mountain and the nearby Little River and the nearby Little Tennessee River. The Cherokees say her favorite home, though, is Whiteside, a thunder mountain. So besides a spear for a finger, she shapeshifts into family members of her victims. Once she has made herself a part of her victim's world, she cannot change her form while she is still in anyone else's sight. Spearfinger often disguises herself in the form of a harmless old lady or someone from her prey's past. Like in the story, she turned into the little girl's dad.
Oh, yeah.
To gain trust.
Mm-hmm.
So since she is made from stone, arrows cannot pierce her skin. They will shatter when they hit her. Also, she can pick up boulders effortlessly, stack them, break them, and morph them together. So she's like crazy strong. She is also a very powerful and dangerous witch who loves eating people's livers, which is oddly what orcas like to eat.
What are orcas?
The whales. Killer whales.
Oh, wait. I got an idea. What if we try to picture what the stone witch, the spear finger witch, would look like?
Go ahead and picture that while I tell you a fun orca fact, because just so you know, in case you didn't know, orca whales are one of mommy's top five favorite animals.
I'm sorry, mommy.
Oh, do not apologize to me. You picture your spear witch, spear finger witch, while I tell everybody an orca fact. Orcas will attack sharks and other large sea animals, bite to the exact spot that they know the liver is at, and just eat the liver and leave everything else for other predators to eat.
This is what I pictured.
Okay.
It's kind of looks like anime.
Okay.
Like, she has, like, blood trickling down her face.
Understood.
She's like, wicked strong, so you can see, well, yes, like, her biceps.
Oh, okay, so you think that she doesn't look... Because I kind of like...
She doesn't look strong.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. I kind of like the idea that she doesn't look strong, but she is strong.
Yeah, like, oh.
That must be a weak old lady.
She'd be like...
And then she's like, oh, I pick up this boulder.
She's like, oh, this is going to be an easy fight.
Right.
And Slayers would say, and then she's like, oh, then you made this, then you...
You made a grave mistake.
No,
oh.
Then you made this way more harder on yourself. Picks up a boulder and...
Fair. So, Spearfinger, in case you were wondering, mm-hmm, is like the orca of the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah.
Ow. You scratched me with your spear finger. So, honestly, that's it for Creepy Mountain Witch. What did you think of Spearfinger? Hello, Lupin.
Scary.
She was scary. Can you imagine? First of all, let me just point out that the woods are a scary place as is.
As is.
As is, which is why I never go camping.
Especially amongst at night.
Other reasons.
Wait, I want to tell you a crazy mommy story, everyone.
Oh.
One time, mommy went camping with her friend.
Uh-huh.
And she...
Trying to figure out what story you're telling.
And these guys, they had masks on.
That was not camping, but it was a sleepover where the older boyfriends decided to pretend they were burglars. It was not a very nice story.
Mm.
But it was not camping.
Then what was the camping story?
That mommy went camping for 2 weeks with someone, and it was the most miserable 2 weeks of her life, so she vowed to never go camping again. Mommy is not built for the outdoors with the heat and the... Mommy's an indoor cat.
Me too, but sometimes I like...
You liked camping.
I know.
Yeah.
But I am still an indoor cat.
I'm going to steal something. You know what Brody's mom says?
What?
You're an indoor cat with outdoor privileges.
Fair.
Yeah.
I would say I'm an outdoor puma.
Oh, okay.
It means I'm half, like a chill puma.
A chill puma, historically.
I'm wild puma.
Oh.
That's gonna scratch this human.
Got it. Well, you know what? Spearfinger has prompted all these wonderful conversations.
Oh, wait. Would you go out camping with me in the backyard?
Potentially in the backyard.
Okay.
But only when it's cold outside. I will not camp in the summer. Too hot.
I wanted to do it today.
Oh, absolutely not. It's 1,000 degrees outside.
I was thinking...
I'll camp with you outside during the fall.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'll even bring a toilet.
We'll just camp in the backyard where a toilet is a convenient, like, 20 feet away. That's great.
Me and Papa had...
No, I'm not be pooping in a bucket. No.
It had a lid.
No. All right. Let's get back to Spearfinger and say... ask you the question of, on your next camping journey, would you camp in the Appalachian Mountains?
No.
Where you could potentially meet Spearfinger
with? No.
No.
Well, if I was armed, yes.
Armed with what?
Many things.
What do you mean?
Like, if I had like a knife, I would have stabbed her right in the heart.
You weren't listening.
But that's the weak spot.
It is the weak spot. But she sits there and she holds her hands over it. So how are you going to find it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I can just stab through the finger.
You can't. She's made of stone.
Oh, fair.
She seems very difficult to beat.
Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind.
We'll just stay out of the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, I think she only comes out at night, so we can just, like, do rock climbing there, and then we can be let's skedaddle.
Let's skedaddle. Well, let's say a big thank you to our friends Kevin and Taylor for suggesting the Spearfinger Witch. You have given us a new monster creature thing to be absolutely terrified of that lives not far from us. So that's fun. Not.
Not.
All right.
We're a little mad at you.
We're not mad at them. Because you know what? In reality, they have warned us. They have warned us, so now we know where we don't go camping. We know what to be on the lookout for. Oh, so good, really, they could have saved our lives.
Oh, good, good.
Thank you guys for listening. I am Karina.
I'm Killian.
And this has been the Cryptid Catalog.
Until next time, the cryptids are watching.
Do you guys have a cryptid you would like us to cover? Or maybe even a story of an encounter with something spooky? If so, email us at thecryptidcatalog.com@gmail.com. What did I just say? Thecryptidcatalog@gmail.com. And maybe we could share it on the future show. We also have a very long list of listener suggestions.
But we will get to you.
What I was saying is, if we have not gotten to your suggestion yet, do not worry. Do not panic. We have a big list to get through. So we will get to everybody eventually.
We promise.
We promise.